All right, our reading is taken from the Gospel of Mark, chapter number 9, starting at verse number 14. Please follow along as I am reading from the New Revised Standard Version, and it reads, "When they came to the disciples, they saw a great crowd around them and some scribes arguing with them. When the whole crowd saw him, they were immediately overcome with awe, and they ran forward to greet him. He asked them, 'What are you arguing about with them?' Someone from the crowd answered him, 'Teacher, I brought my son. He has a spirit that makes him unable to speak, and whenever it seizes him, it dashes him down, and he foams and grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. And I asked your disciples to cast it out, but they could not do so.' He answered them, 'You faithless generation, how much longer must I be among you? How much longer must I put up with you? Bring him to me.' And they brought the boy to him. When the spirit saw him, immediately it convulsed the boy, and he fell on the ground and rolled about, foaming at the mouth. Jesus asked the father, 'How long has this been happening to him?' And he said, 'From childhood. It has often cast him into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you are able to do anything, have pity on us and help us.' Jesus said to him, 'If you are able, all things can be done for the one who believes.' Immediately the father of the child cried out, 'I believe. Help my unbelief.' When Jesus saw that a crowd came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, 'You spirit that keeps this boy from speaking and hearing, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again.' After crying out and convulsing him terribly, it came out and the boy was like a corpse, so that most of them said, 'He's dead.' But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he was able to stand. When he had entered the house, his disciples asked him privately, 'Why could we not cast it out?' He said to them, 'This kind can come out only through prayer.'" Amen.
Amen.
Turn to your neighbor, grab your neighbor by the hand, look your neighbor square in the eye. Square in the eye, they ain't gonna hurt you. Turn to your neighbor, look them square in the eye, and say, "Neighbor, Jesus is able and capable. Neighbor, Jesus is able and capable." You may be seated. We have entitled our message today, "Jesus is able and capable." Now, as we look at this and as we gain some understanding, before we touch these verses, we got to go back. Look at your neighbor, say, "Neighbor, you can relate to this." You see, we got to go back. Because in the beginning of this chapter, Reverend Rhodes, Jesus took them on a high mountain. Peter, James, and John. They went on a high mountain. And while they were there with him on a high mountain, it tells us that Jesus transfigured, which means that they saw him in his glory.
Yeah, that's right.
And he was lit up, and they were able to see Jesus. And when they saw this, Reverend Worthy, I want you to know Peter was blown away. Peter knew that he was in a good place. And by being in this good place, Peter ain't want to leave. And since he didn't want to leave, he said, "Look, Jesus, if it's cool with you, I'll just build three dwelling places." Some translations say booth, so that y'all can just hang out there because we don't want to go nowhere else because right now we're in a good place. Don't you know, like I said, we can relate to that? You know how when you come and you worship and praise God and you are being blessed, you know you are in a good place. And don't you know when you're in a good place and you're having a good time, you just don't want it to come to a end. Oh, somebody working.
That's right.
And so what is happening here is that since they are in this good place, they see Jesus transform, and they see Moses and Elijah there with him. They say, we ain't got to go nowhere else. Keep me up here in this. But we got to face the reality. The reality is the Lord will take us to a good place. But he is equipping us in that good place because he realized that when we leave there, we got to come back down and put our feet on earth. And when we come back down and put our feet on earth, we got to deal with the reality. Everybody say reality.
Reality.
Don't you know in all lives you're going to deal with what? Realities. And I want you to understand that what is happening here is that Peter did not want to leave the good place because he knew what was down the mountain. And what was down the mountain was what? Reality.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And have you ever come and was blessed in church? And before you got home good, you fill in the blank. They have just come down the mountain, Brother Roscoe. And when they come down the mountain, what do they see? The scribes arguing with Jesus' disciples. And I can see Peter walking behind Jesus. He said, see, that's why I ain't one lead. I was happy up there. I could have stayed there. I didn't need to come back down. See, but Jesus was teaching us something. Jesus was teaching them something. Jesus is making us aware of something. The reason why we go to a good place is so that we can be equipped. We go to a good place so that we can be empowered. We go to a good place so that we can be fueled up. Because when we come back to the reality, we can take the good place with us wherever we go to let folk who don't know about that good place to understand that there's a good place they can go to. And it starts with Jesus. Amen.
Right.
And it is our job to let them know that I know right now life seems rough. Life seems tough. But if you come to this good place, the Lord will see you through. But let's go. But let's see. We got to unfold this. It's going to help us as fathers. It's going to help all of us in here. As we now begin to unfold this, what we are going to see is how people sometimes can be so caught up in themselves that they mess up folk from even getting to a good place. All right, now let me show you what I'm talking about. You see, while they were arguing, the top Bible tells us the crowd saw Jesus, and the crowd ran to Jesus, and Jesus now comes into their midst and says, "What are you arguing with them about?" And before anybody could answer, the one who did answer, it just says right here specifically, someone from the crowd said, "Teacher," right?
Yeah.
What did he say? "I brought my son to you to be healed. But your disciples could not cast out the spirit." I just gave you the short version, but you see now what he said?
Right.
So from when this happened, what has here occurred? Because we got to step back so that we can see how this story makes sense. That this man had a son who would be convulsed or had epilepsy, which means that he couldn't, it would seize him up. Right? He would have seizures. And I don't know who or when or how, but somebody told him about Jesus. He heard about Jesus,
right?
And by him hearing about Jesus, we now know that he was bringing his son to Jesus. What we don't know is how far he had to come. Maybe it was around the corner. Maybe it was down the road a piece. I don't know, but he came with the expectation because he heard about the man who gave sight to the blind. He heard about the man who allowed the lame to walk. He heard about the man who healed sick people. He heard about the man who was able to control the elements, cause the wind to stand still and allow the waves to stop rolling. Oh, and by the way, he even walked on water. Took 5 loaves and 2 fish and fed 5,000. He heard all of this. So this man believed that everybody else he took his son to couldn't do nothing for him. So he felt, if I get my son to Jesus, he could heal him. If he was able to do all this for everybody else, I believe he could heal my son. But Sister Worthy, what happens is this. He makes his way to Jesus where he was expecting Jesus to be. And when he got there, Deacon Allen, he wasn't there. But what happened, Marcus, is that his disciples said, oh, your son? You want to cast a spirit out of your son that convulses him? Okay, we'll take care of that. We're Jesus' disciples. We're able and capable. So, where your son at? And the man was like, cool. Because I want my son to be healed. So when he brings his son, what happens? Nothing. Don't you know when you start letting somebody know that I love Jesus, he's ahead of my life, there's always somebody lurking, looking at you, wondering when are you going to mess up and give them an opportunity to throw some stones at you. And this is exactly what happened. They failed miserably on the job. And when they failed, what happened? The scribes showed up. And when the scribes showed up, Deacon Jones, they said, see, that's why you don't need to believe in this Jesus. Because if you believe in Jesus, look what happened. They're going to sell you a bill of goods. They can't do nothing to help you. They can't heal you. They can't deliver you. They can't fix you. They fail. You see, my brothers and sisters, look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, yes, I made some mistakes. Oh, never mind. I failed. I know you're holy. I know you're anointed and appointed. I know you fire baptized and you can do all things and you do all things well in the Lord. But I want you to know, if you are a child of God, there's some of us in here we have. I know. Now you stick a pin in that. We're going to talk about the failure in a little bit. Amen. But what happened is that this man began to speak to Jesus and tell him about what happened to his child. And as he tells him about bringing his son to have Jesus heal him, but he wasn't there. His disciples failed. Now the scribes, who are haters of Jesus, are now telling the free people around, y'all need to leave. Y'all need to be following this man. And all of a sudden, an argument broke out. And that's what happened. But now what we're seeing is that I want y'all to know Jesus got a little perturbed. You know how I know he got a little perturbed? Because he said in verse 19, you faithless, faithless generation, how much longer must I be among you? How much longer must I put up with you? You see, my brothers and my sisters, I thank God he don't get tired of putting up with us. I thank God that he shows us grace and mercy. Because we don't do all that we ought to do all the time. Don't get quiet. Somebody ought to say amen. You know you don't dot all your T's and cross all your I's. I said it backwards. Y'all saw that, huh? Was y'all listening? Were you listening? You sure? It's called dot all your I's and cross all your T's. Are you working with me? What I'm saying to you is that it is so important that God has given us another chance. And through this, we're seeing that the Lord was a little frustrated. But rather than sit there and work on his frustration, there's still a problem at hand. You see, because I want you to understand that when the father brought his son, the expectation was that he was going to leave with his son healed. But rather than his son being healed, all he sees is an argument breaking out, and his son is still not healed. The father's not caring about what they're arguing about. He just wants his son healed. But other folk come with other agendas. They don't care about this man. They don't care about his child. They just want to get their point across. I'm here to tell you today, if you are a child of God and you are in God's house, we care about folk. We're going to do the right thing to help somebody. We are not in this to win it for ourselves. We're here so that Jesus can give the victory to everybody. What we're seeing here is that they were just waiting for them to mess up. But this father is still trying to understand, yo. Because when the father came, he came believing a change could happen. But once he got there, nothing happened. But in his mind, his situation got a little worse. Because whereas he thought what could be, he now doesn't think nothing can be. So at this point, he's extremely frustrated. And at this point, I could just see this man who came thinking Jesus was able and capable. Now doesn't think anything can happen. It has to be just the way that it is. It can improve. It can't get better. But I want you to understand that we serve a God, yes, who always steps in, amen, right on time. Yes. Have you ever gotten to the point where doubt was starting to win in your life? Yes. Have you ever gotten to the point when you was ready to throw in the towel? Yes. You had already wound it up and you was getting ready to throw, but the Lord stepped in right on time and grabbed your arm and said, this is not the time to give up. This is not the time to quit. This is not the time to say you can't. This is the time that I need you to look at me and to me, because I want you to know the Lord ain't coming when you expect him, but he's always going to be.
Right on, God. I'm telling you. I know about that. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I want you to see something. After Jesus reprimanded them, he said, bring me the child. Now, I'm going to tell you what happened when they brought the child to Jesus. It's the same thing, Deacon Booth, that happened when the disciples said they can cast out the spirit. Once they brought the child to Jesus, the Bible tells us that the spirit convulsed the boy. You see it in verse number 20? He fell on the ground, rolling about, foaming at the mouth. Guess what? You ain't never seen that before. What in the world? Could you imagine those disciples? Because that's what happened. The spirit convulsed him and he rolled and foam came out of his mouth. And those disciples were looking, Valerie, trying to figure out, what in the world do we do now? They started focusing on the obstacle and forgot about their own opportunity. And let me tell you something. When the enemy figured that he got a trick that can work, he figured it's going to work on everybody. So he tried to pull that same thing out on Jesus. Yeah. And that spirit convulsed the boy. He foamed from the mouth and was rolling, right?
That's right.
And he got stiff. Uh-huh. And now the father is saying, here we go. Again. Doubt has creeped in on this man. Doubt didn't just ease through the door. Doubt kicked the door open and standing in the middle of the room and said, here I am. And now the father has now gotten to the point, why did I come to Jesus? Why did I waste my time? Why are we here? Oh, my son is down. He has been convulsed by the spirit twice in such a short period of time. Why is all this happening? I can't believe this is occurring right now. Why? 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 They're making a spectacle out of my son. And look at them scribes over there saying, they over there laughing, talking about, yeah, Jesus can't do nothing with him. Isn't it interesting? How many folk are in God's house right now? And doubt is standing in the middle of your room screaming, I'm here, and you can't do a thing about me. But look at your neighbor, look at your neighbor, and say, neighbor, the devil is a liar. Can we go on a little further in the story? You see, once that happened, and the father is feeling the way that he is doing, I want you to know that I want you to know there were some folk that needed healing and not just one. You see, because look at what happened in verse number 21. It tells us that once the boy was convulsed by the spirit, it tells us that Jesus now is engaging in conversation. And Jesus is saying to the father, how long has this been happening to him? And the father is standing there like, what? How long has this been happening to him? I brought him here to heal, for you to heal him. Yeah. I ain't want us to get engaged in all this. Do something. Look at what's going on with him. Yeah. And you trying to talk to me. Because Jesus realized there's more than one person that needed to be healed.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Those of you who have been or are caregivers, you might not be the one going through the pain. But you're suffering with those who you love. Yes. It's hurting you just as much as it's hurting them. Yes, it is. Somebody ought to say amen.
Amen.
When you see your loved ones going through something and they're sick and they are broken and they are hurt and you are taking care of them day after day, don't you know it's wearing on you? It's hurting you because, yes, you are doing it because you love them, but you also want to what? Help them because you want them to get better. And the one thing is this, if they are healed, guess what happens? You're healed because you're seeing a change happen in them. That means a change is also happening in you. So this father was a caregiver to his child. So he wanted to see his son healed, but Jesus realized the son wasn't the only one who needed to be healed. Can we go look at this a little closer? Because Jesus raises the question, right? How long has this been happening? And I can see the father having tears coming down his eye from childhood. It has often cast him into the fire and into the water. To do what, y'all? But if you are able, if you are able to do anything, have pity on us.
Yep.
Ah, hear this word?
Yeah.
Have pity on who?
Us.
And what? Help who?
Us.
You see it?
Yes.
I ain't going to ask you to raise your hand, but I know there's some caregivers in here.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
And when you are a caregiver, if your loved one is hurting, you're hurting.
Amen.
And when you're praying, you're not praying just for them. You praying for? Somebody gonna work with me? Are we seeing this right here in the Word of God? You see, when you are a caregiver, you are hurting just like the person who is hurting. You might can have activity of your limbs. You might do all the stuff you can to help them. You might not be going through the illness, but it is hurting you just as much as it's hurting them. Because you love them. And Jesus realized that the only person, there was not only one person that needed healing. The father needed to be healed just like the son. Because can you imagine when the spirit convulsed this boy near the water? The father had to go get him out so he wouldn't drown. Could you imagine when the spirit convulses him near the fire? The father had to be the one to grab him to make sure he doesn't get burnt in the fire. You see, I want you to understand, every man isn't a deadbeat daddy. You got a lot of good daddies out there. Amen. Do I got some witnesses out there? We got some good fathers out there. I thank God I had a good one. Others have had good ones. So every man ain't a deadbeat daddy. So what we're saying is that this man was a caregiver of his son. Because wherever they went, he could not let his son get out of his sight. And the older he got, that means the bigger he got. And the father had to continue to watch him even more. So he begins to tell Jesus their plight. This ain't something that just happened yesterday. This has been going on for some years. Do we see it, y'all? And even though it has gone on for years, the father had been faithful. The father hung in there with his son. Why? Because that was his son. That was his child. He loved his child. He was going to take care of his child. He wasn't going to let folk hurt his child. And you see that? That's why we need more daddies to step up to the plate. Because there's a world out there trying to hurt our children. And I want you to know there's some stuff mamas can't do. But daddy's got to step up and do. Whether you're in the house or not, you got to take care of your babies. There's an enemy trying to destroy. Do you see it? Check this out. Based on all that he's been through, this man who initially came because he was hoping Jesus was able and capable, he initially came expecting Jesus to heal his son. But based on the disappointment of his disciples failing, this man has now lowered his expectations. Yeah. You know, I know he lowered his expectations. Because when you look there at verse number 22, at verse 22b, where he says, but if you can do anything, anything to help, have pity on us and help us. He went from healing my son to just help us. Even if you can just stop him from foaming at the mouth, help us. Stop him from rolling around. Help us. Stop him from falling in the water and the fire. Help us to do anything. You see, he went from expecting God to give him a 100% blessing to where he was going to settle for 5. I want you to understand we serve a God who wants to bless us in abundance. You don't believe? I'm going to tell you what it says in Scripture. Jesus said, I've come that they might have life and that they might have it more of. So that we serve a God who wants to bless us in what? Abundance. God doesn't want us to come and cheapen our blessing. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, my God doesn't shortchange. You see, I want you to understand something, my brothers and my sisters. God wants to bless his people in what?
Abundance.
Oh, y'all ain't there yet. I got to go there and stay there just a little bit longer. I want you to understand God wants to give you an abundance blessing.
Yes.
You don't believe me? Look at Malachi 3:10. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there might be meat in my house. Prove me now here with saith the Lord of hosts. If I do not open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, there shall not be room enough to receive it. God blesses us in
abundance.
Thou anointed my head with oil that my cup overflowed. God blesses us in
abundance.
You see, my brothers and my sisters, so why do you come here just wanting to nickel and dime God when God wants to bless you in
abundance?
Hallelujah.
Oh, yeah. It's true.
Thank you, Lord.
Yeah.
So what we're seeing here, we're seeing us in this man. Because initially we came expecting great things. But we got caught up with the folk who failed us. So we immediately felt that I can't expect a whole lot from God. But what I'm here to tell you is that's not the case. Because everybody might not be where they ought to be at that point in time. But that doesn't cheapen God or lessen the ability of God. I want you to understand, if you are a child of God, you ought to come here and saying, God, I'm expecting my abundance blessing. I'm expecting my 100 plus blessing. And since I'm expecting my abundance blessing, Lord, I ain't going to cheapen it in any way, because I serve a God who ain't cheap, but will supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory. So, Lord, I'm going to come here expecting an abundance blessing. Do I got anybody in God's house who expect God to bless us in abundance? God doesn't want to just nickel and dime us. God wants to bless us in
abundance.
But this man has been disappointed, just like so many fathers. And then sometimes we hear folk who talk about their daddy and how the daddy walked away from the family or how something happened and it wasn't seem like he was the same dad. It's called he was disappointed. He started off excited. He started out believing he was able and capable. But life and time has showed him he was not capable, nor was he fully able. And because of that, when you start expecting less, you will get less. But I want you to know, we as a people of God, we know that God has brought us a mighty long way. And I want you and I to understand that our God won't take you halfway and drop you off. We don't serve a God who gives up on us, so God don't want us to give up on him. God wants us to trust in him. I know you might have run across some folk who said they was going to do this or that, and it didn't pan out. But what I'm here to tell you, don't you dare put them on the same level with God, because our God is bigger than whatever you have come against. It is time for our fathers to step up. Even if you've been out the household, even if you ain't been the man you ought to have been, it's time for you to step up. Everybody say, step up. It's time for us to realize, I don't care what was, I'm telling you what it can be right now. So it's time for us to
step up.
But look at this. But look at this. This man is asking the Lord to show pity. Have pity on us and help us. So in all actuality, whatever you can do, do it for us. We all know some folk who are cheap. You might ask them for a sandwich and they give you a half of one. You might let them know you're hungry and they might give you a cheese and cracker. Others might, you might tell others, I'm so hungry, I don't know what to do with myself. Oh, child, take this bottle of water and drink that. It'll curb your appetite. You see, I want you to understand that ain't how our God blesses us. Our God blesses us in abundance. Our God bless us with more than we need. All our God is looking for are some folk who are willing to look to him, trust in him, and know that our God is able. You see, my brothers and my sisters, do I got anybody in God's house who know that Jesus is able and capable? You see, when you think about how good our God is and how able and capable he is, there's no way I will ever ask God to cut down on what he's going to do for me, because our God blesses in abundance. But hold on. Hold on. Go with me now. Go with me. 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 The man said, if you are able to do anything, right, have pity on us and help us. I want y'all to know, Jesus now had to smack him upside the head. And you know how he smacked him upside the head, Jennifer? He looked him dead in the eye. And he said, I want you to understand something. The if ain't on me. If you are able. Do you see what it says right here? He says, if you are able, all things can be done for the one who what? Believes. The if ain't on God. The if is on us. If all you want is a half a sandwich, that's all you're going to get. But also, I want you to understand something. Jesus was speaking the truth. And when Jesus is speaking the truth, don't you dare tell him a lie. The reason why some of us ain't got nothing more than what we got is because when Jesus gave us the truth, we gave him back a lie. And when you give God back a lie, don't expect an abundance of a blessing. You see, I want you to realize that we serve a God who deals with truth. Because Jesus says the truth will
set you free.
And whom the Son sets free is what?
Free.
So I want you to understand that if you're going to get Jesus' attention, if you want to see how the Lord's going to bless you, you got to tell him the
truth.
Because when he talks to you, he's going to tell you the
truth.
And I want you to know that in order to unlock the floodgate of blessings that God has for you, you can't come with a lie. You got to come with the key of
truth.
Are you going to work with me? You see, Jesus would let them know, it's on you. It ain't on me. because you believe that I was able
right.
and capable.
Yes.
But since my disciples failed you, you think I'm a failure.
That's right. Yeah.
And I can't help you. But I'm here to tell you, you talking to the Son of God. The one who was there at the beginning. And now that you're talking to me, I got to deal with the truth, because I got to see into the windows of your soul by looking you square in the eye. So Jesus deals with the truth. And he presented him with the truth. He says, if you're able to believe, right? If you're able to believe, all things can be done to the one who believes. So this man was confronted with the truth. And in order for him to see the abundance of the blessings, he had to give God the truth.
Yeah.
Yes.
And you know what the truth he said? I believe.
Yeah.
Help my.
I believe.
But you know what he was saying? Lord, I'm able. But I'm not capable. He was saying to the Lord, I'm able, but I'm not capable. I know I'm going to have to explain that, so I'm going to give it to you right now. In order to be able is recognizing you have the power and the opportunity. That's the definition of able. But the definition of capable is recognizing that I have within me the fitness and the quality to achieve. So he said, I believe in your power, but I don't know if I'm fit and able, fit and have the quality to achieve what you're trying to do. But the Lord ain't asking us to be capable. He first wants us to be what?
Able.
Because of the fact that you can't be able and capable without God. And what God wants us to come to him is that we must first know that he is able. And once we know that he is able, what we're saying is, God, that you got the power and you have the opportunity. So I'm going to step out the way and let you be who you are. And that's God all by yourself. So this man brought Jesus the what? Truth. And I want you to understand, my brothers and my sisters, if you want to see how God can work in you, through you, and around you, you got to speak the
truth.
I believe. Help my. I'm able, but Lord, I am not capable. But I know who he is. And what we're seeing is that he is telling Jesus that, Jesus, I know you're able and that you are what? Capable. And once he says this to Christ, guess what happens? The crowd comes around and so on and so forth. And then what does Jesus do? Jesus now, he speaks to the spirit in the child. And as he speaks to the spirit in that child, what happens? We see the spirit convulsed him, knocked him down, and he appeared as though he was. But I want you to understand something. Whenever the Lord blesses us, don't you know sometimes he got to get everything out of us before he can pick us back up? So in order, before he takes us up, he sometimes got to pull us down. Do I got any witnesses in here where God had to pull you down once you told him the truth? But he wasn't going to keep you down. He just put you down to get all the junk out of you so that he can lift you up with all that stuff in you. Do I got any witnesses in God's house? What's all that happened?
That's right.
The Father and the Son left there. Their lives were never the same. And they were leaving there, letting it and professing the goodness of Jesus Christ. They both left there knowing that their God is what? Able and what?
Able.
And what he was showing them is that when they put their trust in him, they will be what? Able and what?
Able.
But let me show you the problem. Remember I told you to stick a pin in it? At the very end, in verse 29, the disciples pulled Jesus aside and they talked to him and said, why couldn't we do it? He said, this only happened through prayer. Some of y'all Bible say through prayer and fasting, right? But what Jesus here is saying, look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, you better pray more than once.
That's right. That's what it's about.
In essence is that prayer is something that ought to be a part of the life of a child of God. You see, if you truly, all of us came because we believe God is what? Able. But God wants to make us what? capable. And in order to make us capable, God wants to know, will you put the work in? You see, because if you don't put the work in, then all you'll ever be is able. But you'll never ever be capable. Because when you put the work in, you understand the power and you realize that you are fit and have the quality to what? Achieve. So if you're a child of God, prayer ought to be a part of your life. It's not something you do every now and then. It's something that's a part of you every single day. When you wake up, you thank God and you pray. When you go throughout the day, you better be praying. Before you close your eyes, you ought to pray. Because we understand there's power in prayer. And I don't know about you, but I'm going to put the work in so that I can continue to grow. So that I'm not going to just be able, but I'm also going to be capable. Do I got anybody in God's house who wants to be capable? Do I got anybody in God's house who's not just satisfied with a nickel and dime blessing? How many folk do I have in God's house that want to receive an abundance of God's blessing? I become capable. I'm getting ready to shut it down. I become capable because I put the work in. You see, a lot of folk might want to run a marathon. You might be able, but you ain't capable. You better go train before you go out and run that 26.2 miles. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Deacon Alex, you might go to the gym and say, I'm going to go in there and deadlift 300 pounds. You want to be able, but right now you know that you ain't. Are you understanding what I'm saying to y'all? God is the only one that can make us capable, but you can't become capable unless first you know God is. And God will make you able, and then he'll bless you to be. Because you are putting the... Jesus is able and